Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. New father for the second time. Congratulations.
New second time father. Thank you.
All right, Devin, what do you got for us today?
Perfection is finally obtained, not when there is no longer anything to add, but when there is no longer anything to take away.
I guess, go ahead.
When I read that, I thought it'd be the quote. It's like, you know, perfection is just, you can't obtain it. It's just whenever the project's over, that thing, that quote. But,
right, yeah.
It's kind of nice. It's like, obviously perfection, nothing's perfect, but if you can get to a point right. where you don't want to take anything else away, or you think you've gotten to a point like, oh, this is it, and I'm not going to strip right. anything back, I'm not going to, I've gone far enough where I think... It's in a good place.
Yeah, and I think that's coming from the perspective of someone who's a learner, right? Mm-hmm. You're like taking as much as you can, learning. You strip what you can out of it completely, and when there's no longer anything to take away, then you've potentially reached some level of perfection. I think that's good, you know, as opposed to like the I'm trying to do something perfect, right? It's like I'm trying to pull all I can from what's around me to obtain some level of perfection.
Or maybe when you can stop to tear, you're not tearing it down anymore. Whether that's with your thoughts or your opinions on what the project is, if it's not, you know, like, this could be that, this could be this. That's all like pulling away from it, right? That could be a part of like taking away.
Right.
Once you're done with that process. When you stop to find the obvious faults, maybe that's where that little bit lies.
Yeah, see, like in my perspective, that's more of like the addition stuff, like keep adding until it. But I like that, you know, it's like you're looking for things that don't feel right. You know, you're trying to identify the wrong in it. And when you can no longer pull away the wrong.
Right.
You know, you've stripped it away of all of what you can identify as quote unquote wrong, or it doesn't feel like it works for what you're doing. Say it's a painting, you know, you strip away everything, you've pulled everything you can from it until there's no longer anything to pull that's standing out to you for being, you know, incorrect or wrong, then you've reached the level of perfection. I don't know. I think that's somewhere in between those two things. Like the working to make it better, you know, but yeah.
pick your bit there. Cool, good stuff. We don't have to wax on about this. We got a bunch of stuff to get into, and
and
not much time to do it. I don't think we're actually going to shoot for an hour today. Got the baby in the other room, little baby Grant.
Yeah, brand new baby boy. Congratulations again.
Thank you. That's wonderful awesome. Things happen and terrible things happen this week. I had my second child, and then the Orioles got knocked out of the playoffs by a sweep.
That was a dagger.
But we don't have to go on about that. I'll cry a little bit. Yeah, we were joking a little bit because the family was on a group thread. Originally, different things, group text. Yeah. It was originally about the baby, but then it went on to like, all right, go O's. And then I was just complaining, and then our mom was being positive. And I was like, don't be positive right now. Which I don't really mind, but it's that person at like the football party or the baseball party. No offense to mom, but it's usually a girl who's like, well, at least it was fun. And it's like too early for that. You know, it's like, let the game finish. Let me be mad for 10 minutes and I'll be back. But don't do it halfway through. Like, oh, well, it just doesn't really matter at all. All your, all the reasons why you're upset don't really matter at all. So,
don't try to downplay my emotions.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm
let allowed me be in my emotions for a minute.
Yeah, right. There's a big build up. So excited.
I work for the Orioles. I've been there the whole time. I'm dedicated to the team. I could be angry. They're playing like junk.
Yeah, I was listening to the radio this morning, listening to the Fan, Baltimore, you know, local sports talk, and they were talking about like liking and disliking different teams and people and stuff, and Rob was like, he's like, yeah, you know, like someone said, and like now you got to root for. You know, you got to root for Texas because they like they've swept Tampa and then swept us and and like, you know, now they're gonna go all the way. He's like, no way. He's like, I hate them. Like, I hate them right now. You got to let me hate them for a while. They just beat us. I'm gonna hate them. Like, I don't care. I want them to lose. He's like, I want them to be driving their bus to the plane and the bus breaks down. Like, to go to
yeah,
the
yeah.
He's like, I don't want their plane to break down. I'm not wishing harm on anybody, but you know,
like, I feel the same.
Give me my minutes.
Some people are like, well, it's this league or that league. Like, now I'm rooting for no. Like, because then forever they're. Anytime you see their story about going to the World Series,
right,
it's highlights of beating us. You know what I mean? So you have to watch that the rest of your life. Like, and they smashed the Orioles, 101 team, blah, blah, blah. You know, so no, I want them to lose and be forgotten. And
yeah, right, exactly.
I want the feeling of like, well, it didn't matter anyway because they didn't go anywhere with it.
Right. But yeah, I need that justification.
Like, and my thing is just, I know it's, at least we have a good team now, and I know it, maybe it'll happen again next year, but since I work for them, it's just a lot of games to sit through again. It's like, all right, start over, do 80 games, and then we'll try again.
Yeah, right, exactly. I want to be back here tomorrow.
I know. I want to try. No.
Give me another shot at it.
80 games, work half a year, and then we'll see what we can do again. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But yeah, it was tough. I was actually watching the game on Tuesday night. We were at a after party after racing sailing and we had that game three up. Somebody brought a projector and, you know, somebody had their login to whatever MLB.com, so had it up playing with speakers and stuff outside, you know, eating gumbo and oysters and a bunch of stuff and beers and
everything was perfect except for the game.
Exactly. Watched up to about the seventh inning, and we're like, we're done. Okay, yeah. time to head home. Like, ugh. Yeah. That was a dagger, man. Shush.
But anyway, on the 5th is when I had the kiddo.
Yeah.
When my wife had the kiddo, awesome. I should say. I didn't have much to do with it. I will say, there's a wild story, and if you ever see me in person and want to hear it, I'll probably tell you. But basically, I was the first... I was the first hands on Grant.
That's pretty cool.
It wasn't a doctor. It wasn't anybody. It was me. And then quickly thereafter, a nurse. But I'll let your imagination take you where it wants. But it was wild and unexpectedly slow and then fast. And then, but we got a healthy boy and everything's good. And he's a week old today. So
yeah, can you go into a little bit about like, why you guys went to the hospital when you did? Because it was kind of early, right? You were like 4 or 5 days early.
Yeah, it was just some stuff they wanted us to go in. We had already had a once you're over 35, they have you come in once a week towards the end there because everything is like quote unquote high risk, you know?
Right.
Because at 35, you're geriatric.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a geriatric.
So they just check you a lot more, you know. Like, all right, come in, we'll do everything, we'll do a scans and this and that, and look at the baby and measure everything and make sure everything's going well. And then but on the last check they just said, all right, well, we think we're gonna bring you in, there's this and this, but everything's okay. And then that's kind of how it went. So
right on. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Man, that's wild. It's truly a miracle, birth and children, and it's astounding. It's like I can't even like wrap my head around the gravity of what happens
to, like, you know, the combining of two people to make another person. It is just, in the moment, especially as a father and someone who's been there when a child was born, when my daughter was born, it is, like, just completely awe-inspiring. Like, that doesn't even capture the gravity of it. Like, it's just the most amazing thing. It's amazing.
It is. It's, so. And you're like, don't have many words when it happens. It's just, you know, right. You're just so happy. I will say the process now is, since there are so many checks and tests and a million things, it's like, okay, this month we're going to find if they have all their limbs. This month we're going to find if they're this or that. This month we're going to find if, you know, their brain is there. Like, you know,
right.
It's like a million every time they talk. It's just so, it's just really stressful on those moments. And then your wife is sick all the time, or mine was, and and just uncomfortable and upset. It's just like, it's tough. I mean, some of it's, you know, the majority of it's fine, but then there's a lot of moments like that that are just really tough and really, a lot of, I don't know, anxiety and pressure and worry for so long. So when the baby does come out and starts crying and you know, the nurses are like, oh, you got a baby, like, everything's okay, look, beauty, you know, and they're all happy for you. Then it's just like, oh, such a weight. And that's when you cry a little bit. But I was ready this time. The first time I was bawling so much that Caitlin had to, like, push me and be like, hey, they want you to cut the cord, because they were trying to tell me, but I was just like, like, you know, blubber.
Now it's old hat. You're like,
this
right,
time I was ready. I'm like, all right, here we go. The situation was different, too. There was already a lot going on, but it was like, I was like, all right, are they going to let me do it? Are we in too much of a rush to get this done? Right. Or I was like on standby. Like, here we go.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to work.
Cut that thing like a pro.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, obviously without going into the details of it, just like the, when you kind of were telling me the story, I was like, man, if you hadn't have been there for your first child's birth, or if, like, this was your first, I would have felt gypped. You know, like, oh man, that's it. Like, I missed, you know, not really, you know what I mean? Like it's
all
kind, like, of
a, all the, all the labor event. Stuff, all the labor.
Yeah. Department. Right. Yeah. Not necessarily that, but just like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'd be like, oh, kind of missed.
Well, the first
on
one
but...
went for 36 hours. So this one was, much faster, and everyone was relieved once we knew that he was okay.
That's great. Yeah.
Amazing. It's insane.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to meet him. You know, it's,
how's everything over, going? You can come over anytime now. Just bring some food and we'll
eat. Nice. And you're welcome.
We'll let you in.
Nice. Sweet. We'll definitely do that. I would love to come up and meet him. How's everything going at home? All's good?
Good, man. It, you know, we're starting to get into a rhythm a little bit. He's sleeping a little bit. First couple nights were rough, but I feel like they always are. No one's in any rhythm.
Yeah, right.
And the kids are up like every 20 minutes. It's like, no, nonstop.
Yeah.
You're just trying to figure out where you can squeeze in, like, any sleep. But then now it's going, you know, knock on wood. He's pretty much sleeping, and, you know, and then they want you to feed him every 3 to 4 hours. So he's usually getting up every 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you're waking up a lot, or I would say Caitlin's waking up a lot.
Right.
But I try to keep him as late as I can, you know, just me and him out in the living room.
Right.
Deal with her as much as I can. Let her sleep for a while, and then come in a little bit later around 12 or 1 o'clock and then get through that. And then, you know, we all get up at 6 or 7 anyway. So.
Yeah. Right.
Minimize the wake up times in between.
Yeah. Right. That's good. And, you know, I would say, if there is one silver lining to the Orioles not winning, is that you don't have work to be, like, pulled in each direction. Like, you know, you'd want to work when you could. You know, obviously you still want to work when you can, but this is one less thing to worry about, I guess, you know. You don't have to worry about going and, like, being like torn, like, should I stay, you know, like, so. Yeah. And yeah, right, yeah. So Not that that's a great silver lining, but it's something. You look at it that way, but yeah, that's great.
I'm not torn, but I'm not making any money as well. So
yeah, right, exactly. Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah, I'm here.
No, we're paternity poor. Leave. From, yeah, no paternity.
I get
leave
to share my love, not my money.
There you go. That's the most important thing, anyway.
Yeah, paternity leave. No, man. You don't get that as a gig worker.
Yeah, I love the name too. I love Grant. What a great name! It's like classic, so like strong, you know.
Yeah.
And then the middle name David after your father-in-law. That's awesome too. It's great.
Yeah. You know, he didn't have any boys, and most of his family, I don't think they had any boys. So their last name didn't pass on because he had two daughters. So it was kind of that thing, like throw him a bone.
Yeah,
you right, know, exactly. Like, hey, you didn't don't really have any, you know, you can't pass on the last name, but we'll pass on your name, and we're happy to do that. And we like Dave, so here you go, David. And it works, you know, and it just works together well. And funny enough, we were looking through like, all right, Grant, and then you know, it's like, what goes with Grant? And one said, Grant David. They even suggested it, so it was like a random suggestion. But names are so tricky, and
yeah,
and boys, like, you don't want to be too soft, you don't want to be too trendy,
right?
But you don't want to be overly aggressive, you know. So
right,
and you don't. You know, there's a few Grants first names. There's obviously a lot of well known Grant last names,
right?
And then we went to see Jurassic Park. Caitlin and I, like, 2 months ago, when she was very pregnant. And constantly, they're like, Grant, Dr. Grant, Grant, Grant. I was like, yeah, it's a sign. I just, like, looked over and smirked, and she was, like, laughing.
So when did you guys come up with the name? Because I know you didn't tell anybody the name until after he was born, just because, like, you didn't want to get a weird reaction from somebody. Yeah, or you just wanted to keep it, like, personal. When did you come up with the name? Was it, like, right after?
I feel like it was early on. And it was, like, one of those things where like, a couple weeks, we're just shooting each other down. Like, nah, I don't like that. I don't like that. That name's weird. I know a guy. This, you know, that's weird.
Yeah, blah, 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 right. Blah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, a million personal reasons for each stupid name. And then I don't know. I really don't know where we got the name. It's probably just on some list. Because I would send her a bunch in a row. Like, I'd read through lists at work and just start sending them.
Right.
Even if I didn't know if I liked them yet. You know, you just kind of go like, get that how push. About, like, you get a little feeling about a name. You send like five over towards her.
Right.
And then she sends a few my way and we kind of shoot them down. And then it kind of ended up like we didn't not like Grant. And then it just kind of grows on you. I mean, we did not like Grant, I should say.
Right.
Like, we liked it. Like, oh, that's interesting. That's kind of cool. Kind of nice.
There was nothing Grants. That like. Yeah, it stayed on the list, right? Because there was no reason to get rid of it. Not that it was like, you're both like, oh, that's cool. You know, it can grow on you and grow on you. And
So we just kind of started thinking of him as Grant. And then we didn't tell anyone just because I think we told some people in Maeve. And there is no good reaction.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of, if we've already picked it.
Yeah.
In our minds, there is no. If there's only to me, there's only bad reactions that can affect you. Like a good reaction is like, oh, I love that, and that's fine. It doesn't. We already love it too.
Right. Exactly.
But there's like, oh, that's a name. That's interesting. Like, I knew a guy who died in a house fire. Yeah, that was a Grant. Like, oh, that's fine though. That's not anything weird about that. You're like, oh,
right.
House
exactly.
fire guy. What?
Right, you don't want it to. You don't want it to sway your.
Yeah, I didn't need. I didn't need it. Like it's the positives weren't there about sharing.
Right,
and might as well. Everyone knows the sex of the baby these days. There's like nothing nothing left to keep to yourself. So it's like, we'll just hang on to that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah,
people who want to meet him and see him and talk, they'll know. Like,
yep.
You'll know.
Yeah.
When he comes, he'll be here.
Yeah, no, I like it. I when Kryn was born, we knew pretty early on, I would say, before like we had already talked about baby names over the years because I always loved the name Christian. That was my best friend growing up, his middle name, Joel. And I always loved that name. And like when I told Nicole as we were, you know, married and thinking about having kids and stuff, and she really liked it as well. And we even came up with a middle name, which would have been Turner, which is, you know, from the painter Turner, which we both thought just sounded, you know, was a great name and a strong name and a good historical name. And so
yeah, Turner's
we nice. Had that name like all picked out, Christian Turner O'Hara, but then we didn't have any, you know, specific girls' names picked out until we realized that it was not going to be a boy. We're like, okay, I guess we got to find a girl's name now. And we had a couple on the list.
Christina.
Yeah, right, exactly. Christina. Yeah. But yeah, so did you have any other names? Did I already ask that? Any other names on the list that you thought of before?
I think we did, but then they just faded away.
Yeah.
And I, every once in a while, I'd be like, well, did you like this? And she's like, no, I didn't know. I never liked that.
You're like, dang.
Everyone. Like, you kind of have to hit them. You kind of got to hit them with, like, at other, sometimes. If it's terrible, you know. But if they're like, yeah, then you're like, well, maybe we can, like, grow. Like, Maeve. Apparently, I shot down Maeve when I first, what she suggested. Because I think I said, like, Mavis, like an old lady. But then I
said, yeah,
like,
right.
I like Mavis Staples, which is an old R&B singer.
Right, yeah.
I was like, well, I really like her, but I don't like Mavis. Just sounds too old.
Right.
Was it Maeve? Oh, that's kind of nice. And then you kind of, and it kind of kept popping up in like Irish heritage books and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of nice. And then Grant is, I think it's English, something like that. You know, it's used as a last name, but sometimes it's been used as a first name. And you know, it's kind of cool. It's strong. It's yeah. We liked it enough, and so we're like, all right.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Great. Yeah, it's an awesome name. I love it. It's, yeah, no, it's like, it's just different enough that it stands out, but not so different that it's funky, you know, and it's like strong enough that it feels like a good boy's name, but not like, it's not like Rocky, you know, or like something that's just like Axel. Over the top. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, it's just a good balanced name, and you know, it's, yeah, it's a strong name. I think we've done a pretty good job as O'Hara boys naming our children with like interesting, you know, strong names. You know, our oldest brother Derek has two children, Gabriel and Abigail, and then Drew has Finley, and then you now have Maeve and Grant, and I have Corinne. So Drew's having a baby girl sometime February. I forget when Steph's due.
I think he's four months behind.
Okay. So that would be November, yeah, December, February. January, yep. February. Right, yeah. Cool. So we'll see what they, you know, I think they're leaning towards some type of Italian feeling name, you know, things that they've kind of thought of just because,
like,
yeah, little bambino, because Steph's Italian. So, you know, but again, like just interesting names, you know, that have like some character to them without being kind of too far over the top, you know.
Right, some type of trendy mashup. But you know, I mean, really, right, whatever people like. See, that's the thing. If someone threw a trendy name at me, I might make a face. So I don't, it doesn't matter what I think about your kid's name.
Exactly. Right.
And and if I throw an old worldy name or something like Grant, and maybe you hate something to do with any, like Hugh Grant, I hate Hugh Grant or something like that. Right. You know, like you have some weird thing. It doesn't matter. You just pick what you and your significant other like, and then just go with it. It's fine.
Right, exactly. I mean,
if they grow up as a terrible person, no one will like them anyway. The name
won't save them. Exactly. And if they're a great person, then it won't matter what their name is.
It will, like,
people will love them because they're great. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there you go.
We just got to get some really like great Adolfs, you know, Adolfs in the world, and some good.
I think that one's gone.
Hussein, you know. Hussein. Yeah, there's no coming back from these, unfortunately.
Well, isn't that Brock's, what's Brock's middle name? What's Obama's
name? Is something like that. See, yeah, there you go. Hussein Obama. Right.
He's bringing it back a little bit.
Yeah, you're like, okay, all right. I can see him. Okay. You did a good job, you know. Yeah. That's good times. Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's not really anything you can do, and there's no reason to, like, to tell the name, because if you already enjoy the name, then, like you said, there's no, like, the positives are there. Someone's like, oh, what a great name. You're like, yeah, we know that, right? It's not.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
If, I guess if you were, like, hesitant, right, and then you kind of want to feel it out with some other people, like, maybe you go to your closest relatives or family or parents or whatever and be like, hey, what do you think about this? You know, if you're, like, on the fence, you might be able to get swayed by, you know, a friend or something, or, you know, confidant. But otherwise, yeah, like, if... I don't know. I mean, I don't think, like you said, if it's like a random person, there's no reason to tell them. I think family's going to love your children no matter what. So, but again, you don't want to put the people in the position to then feel weird about it, you know, be like, oh, I made a weird face and I shouldn't have. And then you feel weird about it. So
either, yeah, there are traps that people can fall in. Either you'll feel bad or I'll feel bad.
Yeah, right.
Like, so it doesn't matter. It's almost like a tattoo. Just, you're going to get it.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to walk around and be like, what do you think about this tattoo? Oh, you like this tattoo? Hey, yeah. Mom, Dad, what do you think about this tattoo? All your friends at work, what do you think about this? No, you're just going to get the tattoo, and then people kind of go and go, oh, that's nice. That's all you need to know. Like, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's permanent. It's too late now.
This is what I chose.
Although, you are the exception. Being, you know, named Adam when you were born, and then the name changing. You know, so mom and dad were getting all the Adam, okay, really? No D? Not another D? He's going to, you know, three that's, D brothers, Derek, Drew, true. Dustin, and then no D?
Maybe that's why I'm so...
Yeah, right.
Not that it's just like, oh, I can, there might be a lot of influence. Like, just
right. Well, I think in mom and dad's case, they were looking for a D name, and they just couldn't find a good one that they both agreed on. And they both liked Adam, you know, it was like a good solid name, Adam and Eve, and just like a good name. And so they agreed on that, and they had found that. So they're like, okay, well, that's it. I think once they started getting a little bit of the quote unquote pushback, you know, like people and you know, friends and family being like, huh, okay. You know, they were probably just still looking, right. You know, cause they were kind of like, well, the baby's born now. We haven't found a D name, so we got to name him something. You know,
maybe that's how they open the conversation. But it is kind of rude. I don't know if it's rude. You know, that's the crazy thing about having kids. All these things, everyone takes all the things a lot differently.
Right.
Because there's a lot of advice comes your way, and a lot of different things and facts and this and that. And there's a million different ways to give it and take it. So it's kind of, it's a very tricky business.
All right.
So, you know, I think maybe just keep a lot of stuff to yourself until it's already too late. And, you know, if you can't say anything nice about my child, don't say anything.
Like, right, exactly.
Just say, oh, that's nice. And just move along because it's not your kid to name.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, you don't. You just. And, you know, like anything, you know, like anything, everything grows on you, you know, and like it doesn't matter what someone's name is or what they look like. As you get to know someone and they grow on you, they become like way more because they're now a part of you. Like, you know who they are, right? Like, yeah, like I would say as an example, my wife, Nicole, just gets more and more beautiful to me over the years because I know her better and better. Right. Like just glints of smile and things, and like, you know, she's 40 this year, I'm 40, like we're past our physical peak, you know, so there are like things that are changing, but I just, you know, I can't like imagine, you know, when I see pictures of her now, to me she's more beautiful than she was when I met her when she was 18, you know. Wow. like she's grown into herself as a woman and matured, and like, and I, you know, it's also because I know her so well, you know, and so it's like, like anyone, as you get to know them, you know, you see more, you feel closer to them, you know, and you know, it could be anyone. Like,
oh,
And, you know, if people fall, they fit into their names too. Like, oh yeah, you know, Maeve is a Maeve, right? I don't know. Like, it's not that I have any, any other thing to go with Maeve, but that's just who she is. You know, like, I hear you call her name. I hear Caitlin call her name. And, you know, people, you know, like, I call her name, and that's just, that's who she is, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, give it till, you know, give it till when you guys are 50. You guys are walking down here, so. We'll talk that.
Well, yeah, we've crossed the summit.
40 so. Was good, but ooh, these last 10 years did not treat us
now well. When I look back at 40, I was like, wow, you were really good back
look
then.
Look what I had. Look what I had. Look. This toothless troll that wanders the halls of my home now. I don't know.
Damn, that's some fucked up shit.
I'll take it back. She could have all her teeth, but you know, she might have all her teeth still.
No, it was it was that you were calling my wife that. It was like just thinking about like your wife. Actually, like in that moment, I was imagining you talking about your own wife. You know, like just us, as in us talking about our our own spouses. Anyone talking about their husband or wife? Yeah. This toothless troll walking around.
Nah, she may be a troll, but her teeth are all intact.
Exactly. Look at that smile.
She's my troll.
Exactly.
All right. So, babies. Got them. Done. Yep. Got them done. Now we got 30 minutes to discuss, and you got to give me the details, man, because just playoffs and babies and stuff, I had to sit on the sidelines this year and not go to Maker camp. And
I got a lot of questions. A lot of, where's your brother?
That's good.
Where's Devin? Where's your other half? Yeah, there's a lot of that.
That warms my cockles.
No, everyone who met you asked where you were, if they didn't already know. You know, because some people already knew, like listened to the podcast and stuff, and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, how's that been doing? Hopefully, you know, has he had his baby yet? Blah, 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 you know. But a lot of it was like, oh, where's your brother? Where's Devin? Like, and I'd be like, you know, sorry, you know, he couldn't come. He had a baby on Thursday. They're like, oh, he already had it. He should be here. What's his excuse? There was a lot of that. A lot of, what? He already had the baby and he's not here now? Come on. Like, what more is there to do? You know, his wife's there. She can take care of it.
You say, also, there's playoffs, too. So it's a double.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. But, no, it was funny because, you know, a lot of people were like, surprised. I mean, I don't know. Even people who knew that you were going to have a child and didn't really know exactly the date were like surprised that you weren't there. And I was like, well, of course he knew, like from as soon as they knew when the baby's due date was, like, you knew that you weren't going to be able to go Maker camp. So then I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, they're like, oh man, you know, that's such a shame. Like, well, you know, he knew, you know, like 6 months ago, like, you know,
A lot of time to,
right, prepare for it.
And then that's my the only way that I might have gone would be if the kid came really early. Mm. You know, if it was like 2 weeks ago and everything was fine.
Right.
And also I didn't have to work the playoffs. Right. Then I might have gone I wouldn't have came up for the whole weekend, but I would have maybe drove up on Saturday morning.
Right. Yeah, stayed and Saturday and Sunday.
Hung out Saturday and then maybe just went back Sunday, but that was the only way. But I was already, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what, you know, I talked to a few people who we saw at Blade Show. You know, it was like, well, you know, Devin knew then, I'm not going to go to Maker Camp. We got to go to Blade Show.
I know, I told a million people there. Right, right.
Yeah,
right, that's right, because I kept pushing you, and you're like,
yeah,
maybe. And then at the end, because I don't want to go. Busy. It's just not. And I was like, no, come on, we gotta go. Let's go. And then later on, it's like, well, yeah, you didn't know at the time, but this was like my only thing this year where I was gonna see people.
Right. Well, so, I think I did know at the time because you were like, I'm not gonna go to Maker Camp. I definitely want to go. You know, like, so I knew because that was early enough on June or whatever. Right. We knew that was already. He knew the date, and I think at the moment I was like, I was just drained, you know? So I was like, I could just use a break and not do it. But then, like, right, you right. being, like, being excited got me excited. Like, it just, it was kind of just like I was playing it off you. You know, if you were like, all right, no big deal. You know, I'd have been like, okay. But you were like, wait, no, we got to go. I was like, all right, let's buy the tickets. Let's do it. Like, I'm ready now, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like if your buddy's like, you're thinking like, oh, we talked about going to the bar. We talked about going out. Yeah. And you kind of give them like, hey, do you want to do this thing tonight? And they're like, hell yeah. Blah, blah, blah. You're like, all right, okay, yeah, yeah. All right, like, it brings you up a little bit. Like, no, you're right, it will be fun. Okay, yeah. Right.
Yeah, you're ready to, you're like on the, you're in the tipping point, you know, you're like, could go either way, you know, like, right. I can go either way, I can hang in and go out either way, it's fine, right, and they're all jazzed about it. You're like, all right, get you jazzed again, so. Let's do it. Yeah, so I was like, you know, definitely pumped to go to Blade Show, and definitely also pumped to go to Maker Camp, which is great because this year I did some demonstrations on bow making, which was really cool because they had a few more tents this year. And one of the tents they had was the guys from Camp Arrowhead doing flint napping. So they had that. And then, you know, they had some other kind of a little bit more interactive stuff this year. But, you know, it was cool because they kind of leaned a little bit into the primitive technology stuff. So they had some like axe hanging. Tracy from Bastion Head was doing axe hanging. So you could, you know, they had a whole bunch of draw horses. Remember, we were talking to Patrick Reynolds and he was making more draw horses after we talked to him. And so they did that and then I was up in the bow making tent, in the woodworking tent, the Highlands Hardwoods tent, with Green Street Joinery, and I know a guy, that's Viz, and then Adrian from Hickory Homestead Creations was up there, and then the Shaper guys were up there. So we had a solid tent. It was good. And I had my little corner cause I didn't need much space, but kind of worked it just enough. So I had like the front corner of the tent. So, you know, like up in the tennis courts up on top. So if you've never been to Maker Camp, there's a big field. And then, on one side of the field, it kind of goes up a hill, maybe about 5 or 6 feet up, just kind of a gentle hill, and then there's a flat, and that's kind of where the campsites are, and then there's also tennis courts up there. And that's along one whole side, and then there's a pool and a pavilion on one side, and then on the third side is kind of like some little houses, and then they have what's called Flea Market Row, and then along the fourth side is a road and a string of bathrooms. So that's like the four sides of this big field, and then in the field's all one level. And this year there were tents all in the middle of the field and all throughout the whole field, as well as along the edges, because there were a couple extra tents this year.
And let's say you're north, if people are thinking you're at the north side of the
of the
square.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I'm up on top, So where I was, there were two tents up in the tennis court. So I was like, if you imagine that north ran straight through the middle of the two tents, I was closest to the field and to the middle of the two tents. I was in the front corner. Nice. So right up on the edge, kind of out, looking out over all of Maker Camp. Mm-hmm. And so I had one table across the front, basically between me and the field, and then one table to my right, which then opened me up to the left side, which is where people would come into the tent, right? Because I didn't want to put an L shape that like blocked me from everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really wanted like two tables behind me and me to be sitting in the front so people could walk right up into the tent, especially because of Maker Swamp 2023. We had lots of rain in the forecast. But I wanted people to come right in. And I also wanted people to be right there. Like, I didn't really want to have, like, a barrier between me. But having the L shape on my, like, in front of me and then behind me, on the side of me and behind me, I was able to put all the bow staves up on the one that was, like, on the side. So that way everyone could see that and I could reference them. And then behind me were all the bows, the finished bows. And then I had a third table that was able to make shorter. And I had that kind of tucked under the side table. And that had all my tools and everything on it. And then I had my draw horse right there. So I was able to work and access all my tools, and then, you know, reference, you know, different types of wood, hickory and osage and red cedar, which I had some staves, and then also reference the bows behind me. So it worked really well. It was a great setup.
Did you bring a sign?
I did not bring a sign. But fortunately for me and for all of the presenters, Matt Sirio, who was the one who also did the book for Mark Adams, and he also sent out books to tons of people since Begone, he actually made signs for everyone. And so it had a photograph, like maybe, let's say 6 by 8 inches, maybe, or maybe like 6 by 8. And then, that would be your photograph, and it was mounted to a piece of wood and all like shellacked. And then it had a QR code next to it. And then below it, it had your name or like your Instagram name. Mm. So it was like the picture. And it also had the Maker Camp logo. So it was like picture, Maker Camp logo, a QR code. So someone could scan it. It would take you right to your Instagram page and then your name below it. So he made them for everybody. So it was like amazing. Matt did so much stuff, for Maker Camp.
Why didn't you bring the old AOC sign?
I did bring that one. Yeah, I brought the archery sign.
So and at least so you hung that.
Yeah, I hung that one over on the door of the shipping container. So,
oh, nice.
So we had a 40-foot shipping container for the shooting range.
Oh, yeah.
So that was hanging on that, so people kind of knew where to go. Although the Highland Hardwoods truck was like parked right in front of the tent, kind of up on top of the hill, which kind of blocked the view a little bit, but it's okay because I had an hour each night that I kind of designated as like shooting range time. And I the first night I went a little longer. We went to about 5 to 6:30, but the other two nights we were pretty much straight around an hour. Although the second night we had more people waiting to shoot, but it wasn't so many people that I was there for hours. Right. And that was okay. Like, I'm happy to like slow down a little bit and work with just a few people, and people would come up like, so I did 2 1-hour demos each day, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday. On Friday, my time slots were from 2 to 3 and 4 to 5. And so instead of taking a break for an hour, I just demoed straight through for those 3 hours, 2 to 5. Right. And then at 5 o'clock, we all walked over and I had a bunch of people shooting, which is great. You know, I was able to like string up all the bows and talk, you know, kind of, you know, I'd been demoing and just generally talking about bow making and fielding questions for the 3 hours, and the same thing for the next 2 days. You know, every time I was doing stuff, there would be the general stuff. I would be like, I'd talk about what I was doing, but then I'd also talk about just bow making in general, the different types of woods and how to prepare them, and, you know, all the stuff, like basically any questions people had. But that first night we went over and shot, and, I had one of the guys that was hanging out quite often throughout the weekend. His name was Bradley, really good guy. He hung out with me for a bit, and he kind of saw a whole bunch of the process throughout the whole weekend. And, he was shooting some of the bows. He'd shot one of the bows a couple times, and he was shooting the hickory bow that we made for the video. Because we've made the Osage bow and the hickory bow and the 100-pound war bow. And as he was shooting the hickory bow, it broke. So, yeah. So he had taken a couple shots and then just drew back, and it cracked. There were little like wormholes in the one limb. And so that one, it didn't explode, but it like, as he drew back, it cracked on him. And I was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You know, we took a look at it, and, you know, we saw where the holes were, and there may have been some, you know, some voids inside where there was some wood that, you know, maybe more worm tunnels inside that we could see. So, but yeah,
you gotta put it somewhere now, pride of place.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I said, I was like, hey, it didn't happen at the end of the video. You know, it was cool. We got through the shooting, we made the whole video, and, and, you know, I was not obviously not glad that it broke, but, you know, I was kind of glad that he was the one that broke it, 'cause he was there with me for a long time, you know? So like, I was glad that he was able to like feel that, you know, as like, this is what happens sometimes to
wood bows. Interested. Yeah. It's not something just keep walking up.
Right. And he wasn't like, and I was obviously like, what even happened? I was like, it's no big deal. Like, of course it's no big deal. Like, that bow was fun to make, but it wasn't the greatest to shoot. It had like a lot of spring back, and the limbs were kind of helicopter twisted and stuff. And so, The reason why, I mean, not the reason why, one of the, probably the reason why it broke in his hand is because I just hadn't shot it all that much. Like, it would have broken in my hands if I had shot it more often, you know? So it had kind of just like, I'd shot it maybe 50 times total, you know? And, so it wasn't like I'd put a couple hundred, you know, arrows through it like I have for the Osage bows and the 50-pound hickory, my first one, and all those. So, but yeah, no, it was great. Like, I had different people coming up. I had, you know, some people that I really respect come up and show a ton of interest and were like really happy to learn. I had like Mareko Mamasi, you know, amazing knife maker, and Noah Vachon, another great knife maker, both come up throughout and were really interested and, you know, like just yearning for information. Both were like, you know, had said that they were interested in bow making, and tons of other people. Like, a lot of the guys that we know from the timber frame were super excited to come up and see me working, and asking tons of questions. And Jason Messer was there. Like, I've known Messer for a long time. He's one of the other Whiskey River ambassadors and does awesome leather work and does like axe stuff. And he was at Maker Camp, hung out a ton with him. And, you know, we had just a bunch of people, all the good people came up, you know, all the people that we love from over the years were kind of made their presence, you know, kind of came up and checked in. And I was mentioning to you before we started, but that was a really good feeling to be like on the presenting side of quote unquote expert. Right. So it was like that, you know, I had something to give back to the community. And not that, you know, like, not that I didn't feel like I had that in the past, but when you're there as just a viewer and as a participant, you're surrounded by like this, like, seeming expertise around you, all these makers that you know and respect and love the community, and you're there to like see and learn and take things away. But to be able to give to that, like put into that pool of expertise, and then have people, you know, come up and ask questions and want to pull from that knowledge. And then you feel that level of respect, that reciprocal respect. Yeah, it's something like you can put me, that was great. You just like give the grunt, the Ronnie Danger. It was like, pretty, getting respect. Yeah. So like having, you know, it was a good feeling to be able to give back. And that's the reason why I'm a teacher. It's that, like, knowing that I can give and I can inspire, but I can take inspiration from, you know, that's that, like, literally the reason why I love teaching is the reciprocal inspiration. It's to inspire and be inspired and be an environment of inspiration. So
it's nice. It's kind of like graduating classes of groups of people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a lot of the people the first time we went, like the next time we went, half of them were teaching classes.
Right. Yeah.
And then a bunch of the guys we met last year are all teaching classes this year.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's really cool because you kind of search out people like, hey, I know you and I've talked to you. And you kind of go first to like suss things out. And then hopefully, I mean, everyone's so skilled that you just go like, hey, I can do this other thing. No one's doing this thing.
Right.
I'll do this thing next year. And so I feel like every year someone new that we know is like teaching a class or like demonstrating.
Right, exactly. And there's like something else that's being contributed, something that, like, you know, people would love to learn about, you know. And like, I wish there was a way that I could teach the bow making class and let people make bows and the time that's there, but it's just not realistic, you know. Like, and I don't know, I'm trying to think of something I could do next year that could be something like that. I'll try to brainstorm, and I don't know if that's just like maybe it's wood, right? Maybe it's just some, like, I have some chunks of Osage and people can like chase a growth ring, right? And then they can take this thing home that shows, and then they have a piece that they can learn from and take with them as an example to then build a bow in the future, right? Or do that, or make a bowstring. Like, I have enough that I could have a bunch of people making bowstrings and they take it
right,
home.
But then you'd be spending all your time bowstring, like teaching, like...
Well, I mean, ideally it would still be like an hour or whatever, you know, come and do this thing for an hour, and learn a thing. Like, I was able to, my last demonstration was a bow string, you know, I just kind of worked through it and pulled the three bundles and then Flemish twisted them together and made a loop on one end and twisted the whole thing up. You know, that took about 45 minutes or so to make it. So, you know, something like that where people could follow along and do it with me. But I mean, I was also perfectly happy to demo the way I was demoing, right? Because it's like, you know, people will do that. You know, there's several knife makers that do different parts of knife making, or something like Evan Watson, you know, and Matt Stagmer doing hand engraving, you know, different people. Like, obviously everyone's not going to come there and come away with something hand engraved, but they can like learn and see, right? That's just as, I think, just as valuable to be in the moment, ask questions and, you know, get some clarity on some things. So,
I think it's cool to watch. And then you have shooting to participate. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I think that's the cool thing. Like,
And that was
you can talk about bow making, and they can see your bows, and they can look at them and hold them and stuff. And it's like, all right, hey, if you want to, you know, we're gonna go down and shoot for an hour. Come on down. Like, that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, right, exactly. You get that experience of seeing them made. I feel like
that's enough,
Right. And then shooting the bows that are there too, right? I'm happy to let people shoot them. Yeah. And, you know, there are things that I'm passionate about, but I'm not so precious. Like, it didn't kill me to see that hickory bow break. You know, like, if someone broke the 100-pound draw bow, you know, or like, or my Osage, that's my like oldest Osage, like some of those I would have been
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Little bit, but you know, I was willing to take that risk because I think having people see them and then try them, you know, and people that like, there were a few people that were either my height or a little taller than me, you know, it's like, and in that situation, I just mentioned to them when they're about to shoot the bow, like, okay, my draw length is about 30 inches, you know, and so don't pull back to your ear, you know, like maybe pull back to the front of your mouth or to your nose and shoot, because like, you know, I don't want to overdraw the bows, but most of the people, you know, I'm a tall guy at 6 feet. I'm kind of that kind of average tall guy height. So there were a few guys that were right around my height. But you know, so that was just something I would say, like, okay, you know, these bows are meant for me. Of course, if you're drawing short, lesser than that, it's no big deal, but don't overdraw them. You know, they haven't built into that draw. But
I think it'd be nice to get some more hickory bows made for next year.
Yeah, right.
For simple ones that you don't have to try to keep the weight up.
Right.
You can just have work on them for a while, and then they're down to 20 or 30 pounds.
Right.
And they're not as stressed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's not super, you know, it's lighter stuff that anyone can shoot, and you're not, it's like, oh, well, I made a couple of hickory bows this year. Or if anyone else does it, they could bring theirs, and like, if you want to let people shoot them, or you want to, it can be a thing. It can be an outreach thing. Like, hey, bring your stick bows and stuff that you've made. Cause we're all going to shoot them.
Yeah,
it'll be like a thing. Like if you make these things, come, and we want to shoot and like show me what you made over the year.
Yeah, it'd be great. So the first day, I split out Osage day that I had that was kind of big, so I split it down the middle to show how you could do that and go by the grain, and then I removed the bark and removed the sapwood and started to chase a growth ring on that stay of the first day. So that was over the first 3 hours. The second day, I wanted to do some heat bending to show like how you can use heat to bend. And I didn't have an Osage stave that was at the right moment, so I was using a hickory stave, which you can do. It's fine. Hickory works okay with dry heat. It doesn't like it as much as Osage, but it's fine. So for the first part of the day, I was actually roughing out a blank in this, the hickory blank that I had, the extra one from that we had gotten from Kirk Dryer. And so I roughed it out, kind of drew the middle, you know, kind of went through that whole process of kind of like going from a prepared stave to a, you know, to a general shape of a bow. So I did that in the first hour, and then the second hour, I was going to try to heat bend it. So I'm working it down. And I marked the handle, and then I started removing some wood in the fades out into the limbs, and I find a big a inclusion, basically like a big rotten hole in the middle of one of the fades, or right in the beginning of a limb as I'm going down. So as I was doing that, you know, I'm kind of talking about it. I'm starting to see little things. I'm talking to people that are standing around, and I get into it. And so that was a cool learning moment. I'm like, all right, well, I found something that's here that can no longer be in the limb. So what do we do? And fortunately, at that moment, there was still about an inch of material, like thickness, in the limb. It was still plenty thick. I was like, okay, well, that's my new middle. Like, that's the new handle, because like that obviously can't bend. So that, you know, it's plenty of wood there. So we kind of redrew the length of the bow, put the handle in the middle, and took some material off the top. So it ended up being about a 65 bow, something like that, you know, 62 inch bow. And then then the second hour of that day, I was kind of heating, and it was, and yeah, this was on Saturday, which was the monsoon day. So it rained so much at Maker Camp, and I was in literally like the best spot. So up where we were, our tent up on the, on the tennis courts was like dry, and it was an area that was flat enough, but also not like downhill or uphill. Like, it was flat enough that the rain that was coming wasn't really pooling inside the tent where we were. And, yeah, it was great. I had this little dry spot, you know, kind of, I was on the edge of the tent, so I was getting some rain blowing in, but not a ton. I did have one drip coming from the tent above me that occasionally, if I stood in a specific spot, I'd get dripped on. So I had to like just avoid that one little spot, you know, but I was trying to heat bend this hickory stave, and I just couldn't get enough heat to stay in it to bend it. So I tried for a while and bend it worked, and then it wouldn't work. So then I just, fortunately, the two limbs, they had this kind of funky bend to them, but from the tips, I was still able to get, you know, kind of shape the tips where I'd have the string go through the handle. So after a while trying that, I was like, okay, well, that's not going to work. You know, we're not going to bend it. So let's just straighten the tip, you know, just figure out where the tips are. So I did that and started breaking, you know, working it down, working through that process. So that was the second day. And then on the third day, on Sunday, I was doing in the morning, I wanted to do finish tillering, right? So I had a bow that was almost completely finished, to the point where it just needed some like scraping and, you know, working it down just a little bit to get it to the point where it was bending really even, because it was a little bit off. I had worked a stave down pretty far, almost finished it a while back, like almost 2 years ago. And then I saw some kind of cracks that went the length of the limbs, starting on the back of the bow. And so I was able to, I saw them, but I wasn't exactly sure how to deal with them at the time. I wasn't like, I didn't know enough to like, I just stopped. So I just stopped and put the bow aside. And then more recently, about maybe 6 months ago, I've kind of learned over the years that like those cracks are okay as long as they're not running too far, because obviously everything's bending with the limb. So as long as it's not a crack that's going across the limb, you know, if it's something where the wood's splitting, that's not a big deal. All the limbs are, all the grain is going all the same direction, all the fibers. So I kept working on it. And then I realized like, more recently, a couple, you know, maybe a month ago or so, I was like, oh, that's perfect. I can bring that along, 'cause it's right on the edge. I need like another hour of work on it, and it'll like be ready.
Right.
So it was a perfect demo. So I had that, I was able to work that through, and like, you know, just using cabinet scrapers and knives and just scraping, you know, and it was just kind of cool too, because that bow had sat in the shop for a year and a half. So it had aged really nicely. So you could see the dark, you know, the darker brown, red brown, as opposed to the areas that I was scraping, that was like the nice bright yellow, you know, so that was kind of cool. So you could see how the wood works and stuff. And so, you know, working back and forth, taking some scrapes off, talking about counting, you know, like even number of scrapes on one side to the other side, so everything's bending evenly. So we're testing it, bending it, and people are seeing these little things, and some people were like, I don't know what you're saying, but I trust that you're saying something. And at one point we're like really close to the end. And I was like, well, I can see just a little bit of like, I'm like pointing out like there's this right here is bending just a hair, a little teeny bit out of here. And this one over here is bending pretty good. It's pretty even all the way. And I'm there, I'm like kind of showing people and we're looking at it. And then like Sean comes walking up behind me. And I was like, all right, Sean, what do you see? And then I said to the people, it was like maybe 8 or 9 people standing around. I was like, all right, let's see, you know, like, cause by that point, cause I had talked off and on about like how Sean and I had taken the class together and had done bow making and stuff like that. And he would kind of pop up and in and give his little advice here and there. If someone was like, I'm doing a demo and someone had a specific question about bow wood, he would talk to him about that and stuff, which was nice. So sure enough, he like looks at it and he was like, he's like, look. And he walks up, he's like, all right, there's a little bit of a bend here, a little bit more. And over this one, this is looking nice and straight. He like hit it exactly on to exactly what I had said. I was like, there you go. See? And they were like, oh, okay, cool. It was great. You know, it was like, if he would have said something different, it would have been like, oh, you know, like, but I really, and it was funny because I said that. I was like, hey, ta-da. And someone was like, you guys plan that out. Like he was watching from over there. But yeah, it was funny. So then we're there and we're getting it and I work it down. And it's like bending perfectly. It's really nice. You know, this nice D, and there were a few little spots that I was still just a hair worried about, but like I had pointed those out to people, like, this is what was my concern. This is why I stopped in the past. Everything's bending nice now. And I kept pulling it down and checking it. And, you know, I was just using the, like the stationary tillering tree, the one with the notches in it. So, because I didn't really have anything to like pull back on, cause I didn't have any, like a rigid surface to attach it to. So it was just, I'd rigged up a little dowel system so it could sit on the dowels in my shave horse. So it just hold it straight up and down. And, so I'm pulling down, I go to 16, I go to 18, go to 24 and, you know, kind of just checking it and everything's going good. And so I'm like, okay, well let's, you know, it's pretty much done now. So let's check the draw weight. Cause we hadn't really checked it yet. And I'm thinking, okay, it's probably somewhere around 50 pounds, something like that, kind of standard, which is good. So we start pulling down and everything's going really good. And it's like, you know, I'm pulling down to like 16 and it's like, you know, 30 pounds and I'm pulling to 18 and 21. It's like 48 pounds. I'm like, cool. Okay. Well, you know, pull it down a little more. We're just looking at it. You know, I hadn't gone very far. And then I pull it back a couple more times and then the bench actually like leaned over and I like caught it. I'm like, oh shoot. And so I asked Sean, I was like, can you grab onto the top? So he's like standing behind the bench. He's holding the top of the tillering tree. And I'm pulling down a few more times. I'm like, okay, we're getting up to like right around 50 pounds. I'm like, I pull down to about 24 inches and I see it's like 52 pounds. And as I'm letting it go, the bow breaks. It's like right at an hour in the demo and it just shatters. Like that's like, it's like a good break too. It's like the limb breaks and like pieces fly. And like, and I was leaning down, I was kind of close because I'm holding the bottom of the scale, the crane scale, right? Because it's not I'm not back from it. I'm actually holding the ring and I'm pulling down. So I'm right next to the bow. I'm kneeling down because I'm like close to the ground. Sean's right above me with his hands holding the top of the tillering tree with his basically like his chin on his hands. He's watching me do it. And I'm like pulling down and it explodes. And there's like a woman there watching and she screams. She's like, ah! And like people are like, everyone's like, oh, pause and stops. And then I pause. And then like, you know, there's no shards of wood in me. And I look up at Sean, I'm like, are you okay? And he's like looking down at me and his eyes are wide. And he's like, yep, I'm good. I was like, he didn't move. Neither of us moved or like, but it was just like pieces flew. But it was like, it was a really good culmination to that, like a bow making.
It's a good climax.
Right. Exactly. I was like, it couldn't happen at a better time. It was right at the hour mark. We had like 10 people standing around watching, you know, like, it was great. And, you know, because then I could also, like, then I could show in the limbs. Like, we actually looked at the limb and we saw there was, like, a little teeny crack. And it was right on a pin knot. And it was right in the place that I was concerned about. You know, so it was like, this is what happens sometimes. You know, sometimes they break. I was like, and, you know, I could have just left that unfinished bow in the shop forever, just sitting there as a like taunting me, or I could have worked it all the way out to the end and it's either going to last or it's not, you know? So, and that's the other thing. It's like, you can't be afraid to break a bow. Like it's going to happen. You know, you got to, if you're going to do it, like you're just bending a piece of wood, eventually they're going to break.
Yeah, you know? And you could have brought it down more. You could have.
Right.
But, yeah. But you had such a good shape and a good feeling, and 50 pound is a fine,
right.
A fine yeah. like spot to be at.
Right, yeah, exactly. But, I have numbers of other hickory bows, I mean, of yeah. Osage bows that are perfectly fine in that, and, right. you know, so, yeah, but it was a great culmination to those, like, because that was the end of the fifth demo. I still did the bowstring demo at the end, but, yeah, it was, like, it was great. It was, like, good and, you know, like, a nice climax, mm-hmm. And then, you know, again, like, we all looked at it, we kind of picked up the pieces and put it back together and showed where they were, and people were like, yeah, that's what you're saying, you know, you're concerned about those spots, and that's what broke, and... Yeah, it was good. I think that is an important part of, like, obviously, like, we do, you know, we always ask people their disaster stories because that's an important part of making. Like, you have to be willing to, like, try and learn, and sometimes learning means failing and, you know, and just trying again, you know. It's like,
yeah, I mean, it's that point where it needs to work or it doesn't. There's a million things that can go wrong, just like in life. When you bend it or anything, a sword or a bow, all these things, there's a reason they're not everyone does it. It's not easy, but it's not the end of the world. That's the great thing. There's more wood. Grab another piece of wood, start again.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's the fun part. Yeah, man. So you can, hopefully do it again next year.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Get another one to the finish.
I will document it so someone can actually see that it existed over the week.
Yeah, all right.
I kept looking and looking on stories. Like, maybe nothing.
But it was everything was great. Maker Camp was amazing, like it always is. There were tons of great people, and I can't name them all, you know, but, like, this year I made a point of, like, trying to talk to more people that I hadn't talked to in the past, and that was really cool. So, like, there would be times where I'm sitting around and we're talking to, like, you know, Roy and Evan and JC and, you know, and, like, Keith and
just said,
like,
screw you guys.
Well, I would be like, you know, if I would like actively kind of move around the circle, you know, and like try to talk to, especially I'd try to talk to people that I knew, but I hadn't really had a chance to talk to, you know? Yeah. So like I wanted to build some of those relationships or people that I had like become friendly with through Instagram since last year, but hadn't had a chance to talk to. So, you know, I had tons of great conversations with the people that we knew and love. And like, that was awesome. Just like it is every year. But I also made that effort to like get out and talk to other people, which is great. You know, made a bunch of good new friends, and we had a really awesome group of campers again this year, like a solid camping group, although all of us were like sleeping in tents that were sitting in water, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah. How'd the tent hold up?
My tent held up great. I brought the 10x10 and it has that whole like tarp bottom bucket thing, you know, the bathtub tarp. Mm-hmm. Great. Completely dry the whole time. Sean's tent was not dry, unfortunately. So the first night he stayed dry. He didn't like wake up wet, but his stuff around him was wet. So he actually put his tent after I shot Bose the second night. He put his tent into the shipping container and slept in the shipping container two nights in a row, both on Saturday night and then Sunday night. So he stayed nice and dry. It was funny, a couple of people like joked about that, and I said to all of them, I was like, of course, go ahead, like, if as long as it's after when I'm done shooting, like, it's open, it's just a dry shipping container. So but yeah, it was great. We had, like, you know, Adrian was up there, and then a bunch of people that were the last year and a bunch of new people, and it was packed. There were probably, you know, there were like 40 or 50 tents this year, you know, like twice as much easily as last year. And and we had a really cool little community. We had lots of like breakfast and dinners up there with that group.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Really cool. So like big communal stuff where people would pitch in. So next year, we definitely got to do that again, and we'll bring some more stuff. I think the plan is to like really build it out and have like a nice big eating area that's like has a big table for everyone, and then, you know, covered, and everyone kind of pitching in different like food for meals and stuff. Cause that was a blast. That was really cool. Getting to those people and a couple really people who went above and beyond, and, it was great. I can't name them all because then I'm leaving people out. So, but yeah, definitely wanted to say them. That was great. And, you know, tons of cool things like new, you know, it's great. Like meeting new people and you know, exchanging information with people and seeing people that I've, you know, seen in the past, but you know, it was great. I didn't get to help out with the timber frame this year because they actually ended up putting it all up on Friday because Saturday it rained all day. So they busted butt and got it done on Friday. And, it's great. They had a tool restoration tent, which was really awesome. So like you could go in and they had a whole bunch of old rusty tools. You could just pick one and they'd help you clean it up and talk you through the process of how you'd restore it. Go away with a tool. It was great.
You know,
free coffee in one of the tents.
You know, it'd be cool. Awesome.
What?
I've Well, I'm always so jealous, I think everyone is, of like people in the sprinters and stuff, and they've got like these great little setups. If we could invest in one of those like smaller teardrop ones,
right?
But somehow make a soundproof divider. It's like it's a bro, like a bro thing.
Yeah, right.
Because I snore loud and everyone wants their privacy, but it could be the same size.
Yeah.
But you have this like this divider with like one little like window where we could like chat if we wanted, but you close it.
Open the window, close it, and have like relatively soundproof. So you have
the same small like little king size bed or something, but there's two small twins.
And that's
it's
cool.
It's like the bro sleeper. So you and your bros can like both sleep in a tiny area, but each guy has their own like
their own privacy. Yeah. Like a little door on both sides.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
On the edge and stop. Yeah. Open the window between the two so you can talk back and forth and then close it.
But like when when you want to like be on your phone or someone snores loud or whatever it is, or you could have your own like side. But it's still a tiny thing. The bro camper.
The bro drop.
The bro drop, yeah.
What was that, a dew drop?
Yeah, hey, dew drop.
The dew drop. The bro drop.
The bro drop. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
That could be a project.
Yeah.
Those things have to pop up. I see them all over, and it's like, I feel like some people get them, and then they just don't use them enough.
Right.
It's like, could you get one for $1,000, and then we just pimp it out, and like...
Yeah.
Put the super soundproof wall in the middle and put two smaller like cots in it. It doesn't even have to be full beds, just nice XL cots. And then like we each have like a tiny little TV or something and like it'd be really cool.
That would be sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Cause then we can like, you know, break down the cots and use it as a storage, you know, trailer that you like carry the stuff up, right? Bring all the bow making stuff.
And then you just put the normal camper cots in it and then you're good.
Yeah. I can pick one like that.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Pretty sweet. So, all right. Something to think about.
Look out next year for the bro drop.
Yeah, bro drop.
Do you want to sleep near your bro but not touch him at night?
He snore like a chainsaw.
Yes. This is, we have soundproofing. That would be fun to really like really try to soundproof it.
Right. You know? Yeah. Uh-huh. Like a layer of like, you know, probably like a 3/8 inch plywood in the middle, and then on either side of that you have soundproofing foam, and then another like layer of 3/8 inch plywood.
Yeah, it's like a six inch sandwich of the best stuff.
Yeah, right. Three bits of wood and soundproofing foam. Yeah,
we could make it a thing. Like a funny thing. Where like headphones come down on one side.
Yeah, right. Or do the Jim Carrey like sliding up and down the window.
Can't hear a thing. And then we exit out the the rhino's asshole.
Warm,
really hot in these dewdrops.
Oh man, that'd be great. I like it.
We'll keep an eye out. Keep a look on the Facebook Marketplace or wherever.
Yeah, if anyone's listening and you have a good lead. Yeah. On a teardrop or something similar. It might need to be a little bit bigger than a teardrop, but you know, something, one of those small trailer things. Pretty big though,
because people put like, they'll put definitely a queen in there.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have much more, but basically you just need, because it would be our trailer to carry stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Because then you could do all the bow stuff and you wouldn't necessarily need a truck.
Right.
Like you could take a SUV, you could take the RAV4 or the Nissan.
Yeah. Right.
And then throw all the stuff in there. And once you empty it out, you have cots and you have
nice and dry and warm. You know, you can put like little like electric space heaters in there if we need to.
And then when you camp with, if it like you and Corinne or whatever want to go, like she still has, you know, she's getting teenage. Like,
all
right, you get your own spot. Like, that's your own space. I'll sleep on this side.
Yeah.
Ooh, now we're cooking.
Could be like that middle wall is like maybe somehow removable or whatever. You know, like. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We can think about that. All right.
I think it just has to be there.
Yeah, yeah. If that's a thing, if that's a thing, right?
Sorry, if you and your wife or one of if one of us wants to use it, you got to sneak over onto their cot. And
yeah, right, exactly.
It's a tight fit.
Yeah, I'm sure Nicole and I'm sure Caitlin would be more than happy to have that soundproof wall between.
Won't you come over here?
Snoring all loud.
Knocking on their door.
Sticking it up.
Hello.
You stay on your side loud.
You stay over there.
Yeah, hopefully we wouldn't feel the vibrations there. Like, hey, yeah, I felt you snoring last night. Yeah,
stop vibrating the teardrop.
Oh man, that was great.
All right, so yeah, if anyone knows, we'll drive somewhere and we'll pick it up.
Nice.
Cool. Well, give me some before we go. Give me some like. Did you guys have a good time at night? Did you get little parties?
Yeah, yeah, heck yeah. Awesome. So Sean and I got there at midnight on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Night, or I guess Friday morning. And yeah, because we left at whatever it was, 6:30, something like that, and head straight up and like walked from where we, you know, got there, set up our tents, walked over to where the Smelt Team 6, where their stuff is, chatted with those guys for a little bit because they were back again this year. Mm-hmm. Walked down to the blacksmithing tent and talked to a couple guys there for, you know, Jim. I don't know if I saw Jim then, but like we went over to the fire pit and saw Jim Smith and Keith and Matt Serio Burke was there. Mm-hmm, and like just tons of people were even there at that point. It was a good group of people. Like Tony and Keith from Working at Hands podcast were there. It's just like a good little solid group of people. I was like, man, these are all the best people are still up, you know. It was great. So it was like a solid group of like 15 or 20 people, and they were kind of all like, you know, slowly petering off. And
I will say having something like a little dry nook cabin,
mm-hmm,
will make the long stays much easier, because right. I feel like when you're doing that much, when it's not for like leisure camping where you can really right. set everything up, the fast stuff, it makes everything a little bit harder. You don't sleep right. as well. You're on the ground, you're trying to put your boots on, you know. It's like a It helps tire you out a little bit.
Right, right.
If we had something up off that we were proud of, that we were excited to sleep in, and you know, like with all the stuff in, you know, cooking stuff where we wanted it, like I think that'd be great.
Yeah, right.
Especially if you're going to start on Thursday.
Taking the bro drop. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so Friday, how about Friday night?
So yeah, that was, we were up until about 3:30 on Thursday night, and then went to bed, got up. Friday night, same thing, you know, everyone hung out. We had dinner, made it back over, people were hanging out. We got in line for Mark Adams. At one point, we're in line for a couple hours, like you do. We hung out with that night. It was like Pete and Emma were there, and you know, good group of people. So we were hanging out with them, you know, from you know, Pete and Emma that we met at Friends on the Farm. That's when we sent the picture to you, like, hey, missing you. And I got some good pictures, and then just kind of to the fire hanging around. It was just great. I mean, that's. Oh, I know what I wanted to say earlier. We were talking about a quote. It wasn't a quote. I wanted to reiterate what Brian House said, and he was talking about this on the Work For It podcast.
Oh yeah, they were up there too.
Yeah, so Brian was there, which is awesome. Yep, he had a whole bunch of Apollo Forges. All the forges were all Apollo Forges.
Hell yeah,
Maker Camp.
Hell yeah.
Except for like the coal forges, right? They still have the normal coal forges, So he said it was a good thing. What he said, he's like, Maker Camp is like the social part of Blade Show, like in the evenings when you're at the pit. It's like that for the entire weekend with tools around.
Yeah.
That's what Maker Camp is. It's the social aspect of Blade Show, but just tools around. So you can do whatever you want all the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Maker Camp is. And I was like, that's a perfect description, because that is what that is. Like when you're at Blade Show, it's a lot of like, you know, a lot of people trying to sell stuff. And Maker Camp, there's no selling. I mean, there's a little bit, like you might try to sell some of your stuff, but it's
that's not what it's about.
People talking and like asking questions and seeing cool things done and learning and building and making playing and having opportunities. Like there was a ton more stuff this year to make for free. Like everything was like a make for free thing. Like if you had the silver pass, I don't know about the day passes, but there was nobody checking like they were checking people coming in and out, but not like once you're in,
you could
walk up and get go to the Avid CNC tent and get a cutout thing that then you take over to Lincoln Electric tent and weld it. And like some of those things were available last year, but there was a lot more free stuff this year. It was like a lot of people were just like wanting to let people make stuff. It was great.
Yeah. If you were to have to pick between Maker Camp and Blade Show, there's no comparison. I mean, they are apples and oranges.
Right.
So it's kind of not fair to compare them that way. Anyway,
but if you're just going for the experience of like,
and
the
I will
community,
say, yeah, Blade Show is an advantage is mainly for the people showing and selling their blades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maker Camp is for everybody,
right? Yeah,
everyone's kind of equal in that way. Blade Show is to sell and to meet and to go that way, but late,
right?
Maker Camp's kind of for everybody.
Yeah, anyone who's interested in making, you know, there's such a variety of things to make and do. If you have that drive to do something crafty and make something, that's what Maker Camp's for. Mm. And just like so many cool people around to chat with and say hi to and get cool stickers from. Everyone's exchanging stickers and everyone's super excited to be there, just as excited as you are. And conversations are awesome. And
I'm gonna have to get Austin on the podcast and convince him to do the second weekend of October. Because the only thing now standing in the way of me going to Maker Camp, and I don't even think an Orioles playoffs could stop me.
Yeah,
like a first round, I think I would go now, especially after this one. Like, all right, fine, well. They might not even make it, so Maker Camp.
Yeah, I'll see them in the second round. Two games, right?
I'll be there for the second round and for any World Series that were to happen.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So, you know, that and my son's birthday. So if it happens to land on the 5th.
All right.
But usually they've never had it on the 5th, right? It's always been 7, 8, 9 or...
Yeah, it's always that Columbus Day weekend or, you know, Indigenous Peoples Day weekend.
Right. Right.
Because I think that, well, they have the Catskill Mountain Thunder. It might be that weekend before or 2 weeks before.
So, just two weeks after Austin. Well, actually, I'm okay with that because I was really worried he was going to come right on my birthday or right after where it was forever in continuum on Maker Camp. You just can't skip your kid's birthday. You can't.
Yeah, or at least like, you know,
or unless
there's going to be a few, right? If it's a party, like you can do the party the weekend
but
before.
Fifth,
the weekend
I might get away with 5th.
Yeah,
because we can have a party before and be with him on the 5th, and then that weekend I can go to Maker Camp.
Right. Yeah.
Or is it the 4th?
What?
No, we went in on the 4th.
Right. Yeah.
And then he was born at 4/18 on the
4/18. Yeah, that's crazy. Ugh. Yep. Yeah. So we'll definitely in the future. Yeah, push that little week at that party because it's right in the middle of the week. It'll probably be always kind of similar to the week. So push it to the weekend before. You know, no one's doing anything that first weekend of October. It's perfect. we can go to do your son's party and go to the Renaissance Festival for you, and then we'll.
Oh man. All that would be great. I would love that. Son's birthday party, Renaissance Festival, Maker Camp. Oh, what a glorious October.
But yeah, other than the rain on Saturday, it was great. It got a little chilly the second, you know, the kind of Saturday night and then into Sunday, but not bad.
I feel bad I missed that shitty bond.
Uh-huh. That's what we said too. It was
through the shit.
Yeah, 2023 is the swamp year, is the rain year, right? Yeah, 2022
I'm going to be talking to people next year and they'll be like, "Oh man, that rain, right?" I'll be like, "Oh, I wasn't there." Oh man, you missed all this.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was wild.
It's kind of nasty out today, right? Oh no, nothing like last year.
Nothing like 23.
Bro, you thought you're getting rained on now. You should have been there.
It was rough though. I mean, like the whole middle of the field is all one level.
That's
it
great,
was a
though.
Swamp.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it was like everyone, you know, everyone tested their boots. Everyone tested their socks, like lots of Brunt boots going around, staying dry. I switched out my, my Golden Foxes that I always wear about halfway through the day and put on my Brunt boots.
The Brunts, dude.
My Golden Foxes were keeping me dry, but you know, I was like, might as well, you know, change them while I'm ahead. You know, they were starting to get saturated, so I was switched it out, put on the Brunts. They were great. And they have a bigger heel, you know, a bigger sole. That was the more thing that I was dry the whole time. Feet were dry. Feet were warm. It got nice and cold, you know, Saturday night and Sunday night. So nice chilly sleeping, which was good, but not crazy. It was great. Yeah, sun came out on Sunday, and I woke up like I was all under the covers completely because it was cold. And then I like kind of pulled the covers down. It was just like bright sun in my face. I was like, "Oh, the sun!" And then like halfway through the day on Sunday, there was a nice, you know, it's kind of just a little like sprinkle rainbow here and there. So we got a nice rainbow, and you know, right over Maker Camp.
I saw all these things. I saw. Yeah. The only thing I didn't see was Dustin making or shooting bows.
I did get some pictures though, which is good. I reached out for pictures and got some people.
Good.
Matthew Harris, his hammering is not this weekend, but next weekend. And
Maybe we can swing over there.
Yeah, exactly. So he had some videos of me. He had a video of me working or some pictures. So he sent that over.
Yeah. We should go to that. I think I'm clear for that.
Yeah, we're definitely going. Like Sean and I talked about, we're definitely going because actually our wives are going to be gone on their weekend. They're up in Rhinebeck, New York, I think it is, for a big sheep and wool festival thing. So we'll be bringing the kids over. And then, Sunday was good. The barbecue was as good as ever, the wings. And so it was great. So we're in the line. I get up to the front of the line.
You bring Manny home?
I get to the front of the line. I'm there, and Steve Pellegrino's there, and Chris from Green Money Fab is there, and Will Shear, those three again, you know, just killing it and just doing awesome stuff. And
doing God's work.
Exactly. Had smoked chicken and ribs again. Oh, they're so good. Like literally the best barbecue I've ever had. And so I walk up and there's a woman who's also there. She's like, "Do you want chicken?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll take some chicken." So she puts a, you know, big old hunk of chicken on mine. And then Steve, I chatted real quick. I'm like, "Is that your knife?" Cause he was cutting up ribs. And he was like, "Oh, these are all my knives." So, you know, he kind of gave me like, you know, cut up a bunch and gave me like six ribs and a bam, like this giant pile of ribs on there. And then Will Shear comes walking up and he has a plate that's full of ribs. It's probably like 8 or 9 ribs, like a whole paper plate, just full of these big old ribs. And he's like, "Did you see Chip walk by?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just saw him. He went that way, but I don't see him now. He's somewhere over there." And he was like, "All right, here." He's like, "Here, can you give this to him if you see him?" I was like, "Okay." So I took this plate, ribs. Yeah. So it's a whole plate of ribs because I got the ribs and I get like the, you know, some whatever pasta's out and I go over and put my plate down and I'm walking around for 4 or 5 minutes looking for Chip. You know, I was like looking for Chip to give him this plate, of steaming hot, like ribs, just full of ribs. And I don't find him, so I go back to my table and I sit down. I just put the ribs in the middle, and I'm eating my ribs. And I'm looking like the whole time we were looking, but like by the time we were all done our food, we were just like people were kind of already going back up for seconds. And I'm like, "Well, Chip's not back. I've looked the whole time. I don't see him." Yeah. Like everybody just starts. So we all just started eating the ribs. So we all had like an extra like 3 or 4 ribs each off of that plate. And I'm looking. I didn't see Chip for the whole day until like late that night where, you know, everyone's around the fire.
Did you have Chip. Did you have a rib? You should have kept one rib thing in your pocket.
Rib. Gave it to
wrapped
him.
In aluminum foil. He probably slammed it, that late night rib.
I told him though. I was like, I saw him. I was like, "Hey," I was like, you know, I'm assuming he obviously went back. He did say he went back and was like, "I gave your ribs to some guy. He said he saw you." And he was like, "Well, I don't know." So I was right there, like from where they do the barbecue. I was like the first table in the pavilion. I was sitting right there. And I thought about going over and telling Will, like, "Hey, if Chip comes back, tell him Dustin has his ribs." But I didn't. And we ate them all. Because at that point, when we finished ours, they were already starting to like cool down some. Yeah, I was like, "Well, at this point, there are already people going back in for seconds." Like they had plenty of ribs. I was like, "If Chips comes back, we're doing him a service by eating these ribs."
So these are basically inedible.
Exactly. You don't want these ribs.
You don't want these. These are
we're gonna choke them down just so they don't go to waste. But you're, you know. But yeah, great meal on Sunday, like always, and then. Right after the meal, we got in line to get some more pictures because Mark Adams told me, he's like, "Come back. When you come back, bring your bows and stuff." Like, he's like, "I want to get you some pictures of your bows." So I brought back a bow.
I did see a bow picture. I peekabooed on your.
Oh, good. Nice. Right on.
I was just looking through my emails at night, and I'm laying there, and it's like, Mark M's. I was like, oh, shit. I had to look at a few. I was like, oh, what's going on?
That's great. Yeah.
I saw some stuff. You had all your tools and bows and shit.
Yeah, right. Yes, I had the hatchet and the draw knife and the bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are cool, and I'm waiting in line, and then, like, I saw J.C. Messer go up, so I went up with him, and we're hanging out, and Ed Johns and his girl are right behind us, and, like, J.C.'s there, and then Roy Scott comes up, and Evan Watson comes up, and it's Sean and I, and then, like, Shane Mooney comes up, and Noah comes up. We're all just hanging out. This big group of people is awesome, just hanging out in the line, and everyone's, like, jumps into the line, but it was really just because we're all standing there chatting. You know, once we got to the front of the line, it was really JC that was there. So we all jumped in with his pictures and did like a big group shot. But then everyone basically hopped out. He got some individuals. And then right as it was actually Ed Johns who was going to go, I would like, he was standing right behind JC. So when we went up, I just kind of went around him. I was like, hey, I just want to stand here to like, let's all get in the circle. But once we get to the front, I'll remember you are in front of me. Like, you know, I'm not trying to take your time.
Right.
So we're all waiting there. JC goes, and right before Ed goes, they did kind of like the ending announcements, right? So like a couple people different talked, Austin talked, Jimmy talked, Keith Drennan talked, and you know, just kind of finishing the night, thanking everyone to be there, and then they did a big fireworks display, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So that was happening. So like kind of the lights shut down and we all stepped out from the line and got, you know, watched the fireworks, and then it was funny, right as the fireworks go over, or as the fireworks are going, the whole line of the satellites that are on a line.
Oh, right on. Yeah, the Starlink.
Yeah, Starlink. They all are like coming across the sky right where the fireworks are. And people were like, what is that? Like there was a lot of people who had no idea. They're like, Skynet. It was crazy though, you know, because it's like 25, you know, satellites on a row going perfectly together. Yeah, it was cool. And finished out the night, you know. Each night went to bed at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, like always. And just conversations kept on going. And school got to, you know, talk to Patrick Reynolds, talk to Mark Adams, people we've had on the podcast. And
that's
and,
so much. You know. See, that it's so much. It's so nice to be able to talk to people through this podcast.
Yeah.
Just so you have. It's just to get some depth with people that you can't normally get. We joke all the time. Maybe we joke last week about like, if I were to call them up and be like, hey, can I talk to you for an hour? They'd be like, are you insane?
Right, exactly.
Like, what, you know, I won't even talk to my dad for an hour. What are you talking about? Like, it goes over 5 minutes. It's like, all right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, right.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, it was great. And I saw Patty from, Patty Brooklyn. And she was like, she said she had listened to the podcast on the way up, and it was like perfect. Took it like literally as she was driving into the Blackthorn, it was like finishing up. And she was like, I'm so glad that I wasn't able to do it and that you guys had Patrick Reynolds on, because it was such a good podcast episode.
It was great.
Awesome. So,
yeah. We'll have Patty on soon.
Yeah, and Patrick sent me a message today. He said he actually went back and listened to it, and he was like, man, that was a great conversation. He was like, I couldn't remember anything we said. He's like, I must have really been in the moment. But he's like, I told some good stories. We sounded, had a good conversation. Sounded
kind of smart.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. And I'm so glad it went well. And
and
everything worked out. You need me there to capture all this. Next year, I will be capturing and sending in, like, I post this. Do this, and we will get some type of video on YouTube. And then now we know how it went.
Right. Yep.
We can make it better. Exactly. We can make contraptions for people to shoot. We can plan out like a more.
Yep.
Like, hey, free shoot, or we go like, hey, we're gonna have like a competition
on the right. Exactly. Like, advertise that throughout the thing. Like, there's a competition. Right,
so it's a big thing. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we want everyone. It can be between some of the presenters, just for fun, to like, so everyone knows, like, oh, this guy against this guy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, exactly. And then this, a like, bracket, bracket. Oh, how cool that.
Sign up for the bracket, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, man.
That'd be good. As we were leaving on Monday morning, we were kind of driving out, and we had packed everything up, and we're heading out, and I see Austin there, and so I asked Sean to stop and to hop out, and I just went over and said thank you and everything, and he was like, yeah, it was great. Like, thank you so much. You know, it was so much fun. You guys did a great job. He was like, He's like, in a couple of weeks when everything kind of slows down, he's like, let's talk, let's brainstorm, let's figure out what we can do next year to like make it better and make it bigger. And I was like, yeah. Nice. So,
oh yeah.
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 Yeah. It'd be cool.
Well, shoot off bracket. Like, yeah. Talk to people early on. Anyone who's presenting.
Yep.
Wants to come on, like have the free shoots, but then on Saturday.
Right.
I think Saturday would be the perfect day.
Yeah, do a right.
Everyone's there.
Shoot off bracket or whatever.
Presenter shoot off. Be like, and it's just like three shots each.
Yep.
So it's like a rapid fire, like boom, boom, boom. All right, he goes through.
Yeah.
He got three here next, and you just go, oh, it'd be so much fun.
Yeah, it'd be great.
All right, so we got the bracket shoot off, and we got the bro drop, a lot of stuff for next year.
We got some stuff working. And then if we end up doing some type of target thing, you know, interactive target, like we thought about this year, that'd be cool. It'd be a blast. Cool. And hopefully I can, you know, get a hold of a sponsor, maybe get, you know, maybe get a handful of like, you know, fiberglass bows or something, I don't know, or maybe get some wooden bows or even some staves that people can work some on, or just some more draw horses or something, like something to give away, even if it's like, you know, shooting gloves or arrows or something. Like I can give away some stuff, that'd be kind of cool too. So
yeah, man.
See how that works. Cool. Well, it's a good lead into my recommendation this week. So one of the guys who actually hung out a bunch and actually was super interested in bow making, and somebody that I met last year, just super briefly, but really good dude, Mike from Big Bear Custom Metals on Instagram. I hung out a lot with him this weekend. Jim came up, Jim Smith, and he gave me another hatchet to try, and he was like, go ahead and keep it. So I have two hatches now, but like Jim also brought some birch staves from Mike, because I guess like through the grapevine, Mike, once I posted that I was doing the bows, bow making, like Mike actually reached out to me for a couple times, like, what can I bring, what can I help out? I'm only 45 minutes away, I can bring extra targets, I can bring, because he's like shoots, but he's really interested in learning bow making. He was around a bunch. I hung out with him, had awesome conversations with him at night. Also super good dude, just a really fun, like inclusive part of the community. So I was really glad to be able to get a hang out with him this year, because I think it was like Sunday night, really late at night last year, he had this canvas or this like sign that he was having everybody sign. He was like, oh, they're at a craftsmanship, come over and sign it. And that was like when I met him, it was like for 5 minutes and that was it. So I'm really happy that I got to like meet him and get to know him a little bit better this year. So Mike's a super good dude and he does some really cool work. So you can check out him on Instagram. Again, that's Big Bear Custom Metals on Instagram. And he does metalwork and woodwork and stuff. So, but you can follow along and hopefully he'll be making some bows out of those birch staves. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
It would be great also in a way to build it. We can talk to Austin about it during one of the other events that might be somewhat involved with it. You could do like a shooting thing.
Right.
Like the other, like what's the one you guys would go to?
What do you mean?
The dress up one for the bow stuff. Oh, and the stuff at Oregon Ridge.
Like a Primitive Technologies weekend.
Yeah,
like a
bow
shoot. Like a 100 yard shoot, and then a shoot at a thing, and like a shooting course or whatever.
Because you said there's a bunch more primitive stuff this year, like the flint napping.
Right, yeah.
So if you combined all the primitive technology guys and did that, just like you have the hammer in and all this, all the other metal stuff.
To do like a weekend at
the Blackthorn.
Oh, because then, we could do,
because then you could,
know, if I had longer, right.
You could do flint napping, like you could do actual teaching.
Right. Yeah, I could bring some staves, like bring some hickory staves and have people cut them down and actually like, you know, tiller them down in that amount of time. Yeah. Because like when we did ours, we did it over the course of, I think it was what, 5 weeks, and it was like 3 hours a week. So, you know, if I had three days or 2 days, you know, like two long days, 8 hour days, that's more than enough time to make a bow.
Yeah.
You know, even for beginning bows. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, do some and then do some like flint napping, and you know, maybe we make some arrows too or something, like do some you know, full primitive, like
do a primitive start to weekend. Finish
bro set up, bow set up. That would be cool.
Ooh,
yeah, that'd cooking. Be real cool.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. All right. You have a recommendation this week?
No more fresh ideas. Well, again, like always, it's a very popular thing. But and I think I've suggested before, but he's got a bunch of new ones out. The Survivor Man YouTube channel.
Yeah, right.
Just awesome. I've been watching a lot of those late at night, hanging with for this last week with Grant.
Yeah.
Just like trying to get him to sleep and just watching all their Survivor Mans, because he put pretty much all the ones he ever had on TV up on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah. And then he puts his director's commentary where he just sits there and like has a glass of wine and plays it.
Yeah.
And then talks about it. Like, oh, and here I did this and this, and like really goes behind scenes. So it's really
nice.
A great channel for that. And if you ever like the show, they're like all on there. So
yeah.
Survivor Sweet. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. I do follow him, or I subscribe to that channel. It's great to see him do some of that stuff. He had a series that he came out with probably like 2 years ago now that was all like Bigfoot stuff. And that was super fun to watch. Right. Cause it was like, cause he's not a skeptic, but he doesn't believe, you know, but so he's like, he's completely willing to hear other people's stories and go out and try to find out. Like, he just wants to know, you know, like if it's something there, he wants to know. And so that was cool seeing it from that angle. Like, that was really cool. Yeah. From someone, you know, like you know, and trust as like an actual survivalist, someone who's been out there and, you know, he's willing to go out and see if he finds out some stuff and see what the evidence shows. It's fun to watch. Yeah. Well, I will say that this year I was definitely more sore, and my voice was more strained than past years. On my feet the whole time. Throughout the weekend I was fine, but you know, each morning I was a little bit more and more stiff, and then by that last day, that Sunday, my voice was a little strained. I came back and Kern was like, "Your voice is so deep." I was like, it was real. It was definitely pushed to the max, and all the way up until like Monday at school, it was the same way. And like, and you know, I was like getting up out of bed, I'm a little sore, and my wrists are a little sore from working hatchet and draw knife, and my legs and feet are sore. And yeah, it puts a toll on your body when you're kind of up and working and presenting and talking for you know, majorities of the day. And I know that was only like 2 hours a day specifically, but I was in and out of that bow making area pretty often, you know, and like, and then also the extra hour to an hour and a half of shooting, and you know, just
it's a lot.
It was all worth it though. Super fun.
All right, we need the bro drop. That's all there is to it.
That'd be sweet. We don't have to worry about any swampy areas. We get nice.
No
and dry.
Swamp. You're dry. It'll be plenty warm compared to anything else.
That's right. We got to get there early though, because when Sean and I got there at 12:30 on Thursday, it was like when we got there on Friday last year. It was already packed. The whole camping area. So,
well, if you're presenting again, you know, it's like, all right, well, you at least got to save me a spot. We don't need a hotel.
Right. Exactly.
Just save us a spot.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys all for listening. If I saw you at Maker Camp, it was awesome to meet you, and thank you all for making it an amazing time for me and making it an amazing time for Devin to be jealous of, which is like, you know, but you know, you have an amazing little beautiful baby boy. So, if there's any good reason to miss Maker Camp, that's a damn good reason. You know, everyone who gave you like the slightest bit of shit was always like, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? Like, that's right. Yeah, that's a good, if you're going to miss Maker Camp, that's a reason. So, it was a blast. Make sure you guys head over to YouTube, check out what we have there. We'll have a new video coming out shortly about the laser etcher. Brunt, the laser pecker, Brunt Workwear was at there this weekend, and they were making hats, and you could go up and get a free hat and get your logo etched on.
Yeah.
And they were using the laser pecker too to etch the leathers, which is pretty cool.
I'm almost done. I was working on it today. I think it'll be out this weekend. So keep an eye out for that, folks.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah. And so you guys can head over to YouTube and subscribe there and follow along. Let us know what you think. You can head over to Instagram and follow us there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And if you want to support the channel and the podcast, you can always head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there. That's it. All right, Devin, it was always a pleasure, like normal.
Cheers.
Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.